So good evening, to brothers and sisters. So last few weeks we have been studying about the third volume, The Call of the New Creation. Last time we studied about the different types of diseases and how it has to be fought. And we also saw about the different classes of people, how they are to be treated, how they are to be handled. So this week we will continue with page number 151. Under the subheading of tentative justifications precedes sanctification. So, who can read? Romanista Rama brother.
Page number 151, the tentative justification.
Yeah, sister, from there.
Okay. We have observed that tentative justification is not merely a mental assent of the fact that Christ died as man's redeemer and that the certain blessing of the reconciliation to God were thus secured for the race, but that additionally, in order to become a justified believer, a certain amount of consecration is implied. Such justification implies a recognition that sin is exceedingly sinful. Romans 7, verse 13. And a desire to cease from it, to be free from its power, as well as free from its penalties, a desire therefore to be righteous in harmony with the righteous Creator in accord with all believer has set his mind, his will to follow righteousness in all of his life's affairs. Faith is in Jesus, accompanied by such consecration, gives tentative justification, but does not imply sacrifice. God has a right to demand that all of his creature shall approve righteousness and hate iniquity, or else consider themselves aligned from him. His enemies, but God does not demand that we shall sacrifice ourselves in his service, nor for any other cause. Sacrifice, therefore, is set forth in the scripture as a voluntarily act, not demanded by the law, even though it be, as the apostle declares, a reasonable service. And he urges us, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, your reasonable service. Romans chapter 12, verse 1.
Thank you, sir. So here we are dealing with a subheading called as a tentative justification, okay, that precedes sanctification. So what is this meaning of tentative justification? First of all, let us try to understand that one, okay? Now, what is meaning of justification? Justification means forgiveness of our sins. We all know that we are all condemned under Adam to sin and his result death. The only way to escape from this condemnation is that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Whoever believes that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins, you see, and Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and Jesus is a personal savior, their sins are forgiven. They are justified in the sight of God. Justified means what? That means God treats them that they are no more sinners. God treats them that the sins are completely forgiven. Okay, so this all happens as a matter of faith. Okay, and this literally or practically nothing changes in the life, but just because of our faith in the Lord's sacrifice, God considers that we are justified. Okay, now what is this called as tentative justification or tentatively justified? What is this one? You see, tentative, the word tentative means, you see, that word only gives us a meaning that is something which is temporal. So temporary justification. Now what is this temporary justification? Why God gives temporary justification? Oh, why can't he give a permanent justification? Permanently God can do it. No. Why God has given this a fact about a matter about tentative justification? You see, temporarily God, you see, forgives our sins. Why? Why doesn't God permanently do it? Because when Jesus died on the cross for the whole mankind, he paid the price, he paid the ransom price for the whole mankind. But that price, you see, has to be claimed by each and every human being of this earth. You see, an offer is given to each and every human being. So whoever claims that offer is part of the ransom sacrifice, is part of the Jesus what offered himself as a ransom sacrifice. That part of that, you see, redemption, which Jesus gave it for a particular person, everybody has got one opportunity. You see, one claim they can make. Okay, once they can take this offer. Okay, so you can do it now in the gospel age, or if you don't want, you can do it in the 1,000 years when Jesus establishes his visible kingdom. So everybody has got only one part, not multiple parts. So what is the condition of the gospel age? You see, why this temporary picture comes here means in the gospel age, God justifies a person only upon one condition. What is that condition? That one condition is that he goes to offer his body as a living sacrifice. That is the only condition, you see, where, you see, God completely forgives one person's sin and, you see, justifies him, considers him to be perfect human being as Adam. Okay? Now what is this? Where is this scripture? Read Philippians 1:29. Philippians 1:29. Munaster, can you read?
Okay, brother. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him but also to suffer for his sake.
Very good. See, this is the condition of the gospel. Not only to believe on him but to suffer for Christ. So, if you are accepting Christ as a savior, redeemer, the next condition has to be taken. That is the offer. You take one, the other is free for you. What is one? First, if you take the forgiveness of sins, automatically the second thing is that you need to suffer with Christ is a compulsory condition. So based on this condition only, we are justified, our sins are forgiven. But in the case of some people, what happens is that they accept Jesus as the personal savior. Okay, and they claim that part of that ransom sacrifice and they cleansed of their sins, everything. Now God treats them to be holy, to be pure, to be equal to Christ. Now next, what does God expect? God has done so much of things to this person, but what does God expect? God expects that he comes forward and offer his body as a living sacrifice to him. But there are some people who come to this mode and never come to the mode of consecration. They keep on speculating. You see, they keep on lingering there and see whether to consecrate or not, whether to consecrate or not, whether to come or go back. In such cases, you see, what all justification which God has given them, you see, that cannot be confirmed. Why it cannot be confirmed? Remember, each and every person in this world has got one portion of the ransom. You see, if you take that portion now, you won't get it in the 1,000 years. If you're going to take it in 1,000 years, you can't take it now. So that's the condition. If a person decides not to consecrate, then that means he is indirectly telling to the Lord that he doesn't want to be part of that consecrated class. He doesn't want to be of the church class. So God, you see, when he made a plan, he knew that so many people will come to the truth. You see, what does the Bible say? Many are called, few are chosen. So many people are called to the truth, but not all accept, you see, consecration. You see, not all come to the mode of consecration. So it will be like just wasting the grace of God or using the grace of God in vain. You see, God gives them the Holy Spirit for a purpose of what? Opens the eyes of understanding, gives them a taste of the Holy Spirit, a small portion. Why? So they may come to the mode of consecration, offer their bodies as a living sacrifice. But if they decide not to come, then all this entire plan of God, what is done in the gospel age, it will be just a waste of time. Hence, what God has also planned is that he gives them a temporary offer. If anybody is coming to Christ, okay, God says, I will justify you temporarily. Why? Why do I do it temporarily? Because let me see your condition. Let me see your heart condition. Let me see your behavior. Let me see how you're going to do in the coming days, whether you're going to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice or not, whether you're going to lay upon the altar or not. You see, if anybody decides not to offer it, then God withdraws this temporary justification. That is the, you see, complete setup of temporary justification, temporary setup. Now, you know, simple example if you need to give, it is like joining a job. You see, imagine you join a company for a work. Immediately, will they make permanent? I don't know in Nepal. But in India, nobody takes an employee immediately for the permanent job and give them offer that and make them as a permanent employee of that company. But when they are recruited to a company, they are taken on the basis of a temporary observation period is there. 6 months observation period. 6 months probation period is there. What do they do in the 6 months? They observe that person particularly clearly, whether he is able to adapt to the atmosphere of the company, whether he is able to be obedient to the company and do all the works of the company as in, when told as per the agreement, then only he will be made as a permanent employee. If he is not willing to come to that mode of making himself to be permanent by obeying all the terms and conditions of the government, doing all the job, you see, company sees that he is not a worthy person for this job. And after 6 months or within 6 months, his job will be terminated. But if that person is found worthy, what will happen? After 6 months, he will be made permanent. Same condition. And God brings someone to the truth. You see, God opens their eyes of understanding. You see, why? So that he may see what is the glorious, you see, light of the gospel. His eyes is enlightened. You see, he is able to understand so many deep things of the Bible, which nobody could understand till now. Why? So that he may come and consecrate to the Lord in the future. But if he doesn't consecrate, you see, and God tells, before going for that permanent justification, I'll see that I'm making my temporary justified and see whether he is worthy or not, whether he has come to the mode of consecration. Once he decides, you see, not to make his consecration vital, you see, then his, you see, justification will be taken off. This is the meaning and the concept of temporary justification. So, justification, there are two points. Permanent justification, you see, and the temporary justification. Temporary justification happens first, but once if they come to the mode of consecration, at that moment, permanently they will be justified. And this all happens when? Not after consecration, but before consecration. Okay? So, hence, what does Apostle Paul say? You see, in Romans 12, I beseech you, brethren. He is already requesting the brethren in the truth. You see, those who are not consecrated but yet in the truth, therefore he calls them as brethren. I request you by the mercies of God. What is the mercy of God? A lot of things God has done to us. You see, keeping all this thing in mind, the reasonable thing, a simple thing a consecrated can do is that offer his body as a sacrifice to the Lord. Okay? Okay, next paragraph. Next paragraph. Who will read? Munaster, can you read? Is it possible?
With some consecration to sacrifice may follow very soon after faith in the Lord and the desire to walk in his ways of righteousness have been reached, but it must follow, it cannot precede, because as we have already seen, we must be at least tentatively justified by faith before we could have any dealings with God, whatever, or enjoy fellowship in any sense with him. With others, this justified condition is attained and followed some time before any thought of a complete consecration or sacrifice of earthly interest to the Lord and to his cause is even contemplated. But under present condition, those who start to walk the path of justification, the path of righteousness, the path of harmony with God, will not go very far along this path before they encounter opposition either from within or from the world or from the adversary.
Okay. Now here, one more condition is mentioned is that one more, you see, example or a certain type of consecration. You see, this would have followed, you see, this would have already taken place. This would have, you see, been in their mind before they are actually justified. You see, that means even before, you see, they are actually justified in the sight of God, they would have thought that they would have already consecrated to the Lord and they are doing a lot of things for the Lord and sacrificing to the Lord. But will that type of consecration is accepted if you see? No. Like for example, there are so many cases among the brethren here in India. You see, they would have been very zealous for the Lord before coming to the truth. You see, very zealous, very interested. You see, they would have done a lot of sacrifices to the Lord, but yet they are not justified. Why they are not justified? They would have believed in Jesus Christ. They have believed in Jesus that their sins are forgiven. Everything is good. But you see, their sins are not completely cleansed and they are not completely justified. Why? Because they have not made this consecration, you see, valid. Hence, if you see, these, you see, consecration before justification, you see, is never properly accepted. Hence, temporary justification should happen first. Temporarily, you should be called. You see, you should be enlisted. Then only, you can go for the vital justification, confirming of justification. You all remember, in the basic class, we took a story about Gideon in the subject of church. You see, the Midianites came to attack, you see, the camp of Israel. 120,000 were there. And God calls Gideon and tells, you see, go and take this people of Israel to fight against the Midianites. So Gideon goes and gives the call. So as soon as he gives the call, how many people came up? When Gideon gave the call, how many people came out? How many of the people of Israel came to go to war against Midianites?
22,000.
Okay. So it was actually 32,000. Okay. So initially 32,000 people came. But God tells, even this crowd is also too much. So we don't want this much crowd. Lest the people claim that it is of our own, you see, strength that we won the war. So hence, God tells to Gideon, now proclaim to this 32,000 people, whoever is fearful, whoever is not willing to fight boldly, whoever has that fear, they can return back. So immediately, when he tells these words, 22,000 people return back. So balance left over was 10,000. God tells this 10,000 is also too much to go to fight, to bring them to the water to test it. And there only 300 are tested. This is the concept of justification, temporary justification and consecration. The ultimate goal of God in the gospel age is that you bring someone to the consecration level. You see? And to bring them to the mode of consecration level, God gives them ample support. He tells to boldly proclaim, whoever is willing to fight, they can come. So, what do we tell? You see, we also tell the same thing, no? Whoever is willing to follow the footsteps of our master, whoever is willing to follow this truth, you see, this truth is word of God, it is the His footsteps, his master's words, whoever is willing to follow this one, come. What will happen? Many people will come. You see, many people will come to attend the classes, listen to the truth. You see, they want to, you see, fight. But when actually we tell, if there is anybody who is having that fear, they can return. You see, they can go back. Immediately, what happens? Many people turn back. You see, initially the classes and all will be good, very fine. You see, when three world is good, three ways are good, Daniel 2, 7, why God permits evil, how to study the Bible, all these things are good, the church, everything is good. But once when you come to the classes of hell, the Lord's Supper, baptism, tongues, miracles, Trinity, Antichrist, second coming, you see, they clearly understand the difference. Oh, ho, ho, this is the reason we are called. We are not called to just come and listen. No. 32,000 people came. You see, they initially did not understand the complete concept of warfare. You see, they were told to come and fight. Who is willing to fight? Who is willing to stand for Israel? Let them go. So everybody thought, okay, good, good, this is very good. We will also fight, we will also stand for Israel. But when they came, then only when they realized the terms and conditions, many become fearful. So as you see, many people listen, many people become fearful. Fearful in the sense what? You see, there are terms and conditions of consecration are very strictly mentioned, very clearly mentioned. No compromise. Little bit of compromise also, we will lose our crown. Every risk is there. When all these terms and conditions are clearly, you see, shown to them, clearly guided and told to them, you see, what will happen? Not many people will come. They will turn back. Why they will turn back? Because they know the hardship of consecration. It is living a holy life to the Lord. Read 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians, fourth chapter, third verse. First
First
Thessalonians 4:3.
okay, brother. First Thessalonians 4:3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication.
You have Nepali? Can you read in Nepali?
Brother, please wait.
I'll read, brother.
1 Thessalonians 4:3. I'll register.
किनकि परमेश्वरको इच्छा यही हो तिमीहरूको पवित्रता, तिमीहरू व्यभिचारबाट अलग बस।
पवित्र परमेश्वर का इच्छा यही है.
परमेश्वरको इच्छा यही हो तिमीहरूको पवित्रता।
पवित्रता, करेक्ट वर्ड, पवित्रता. Pavitrata means what? You see? You see? A very holy life, very disciplined life. You see, this is the will of God in this gospel age. When you mention all these things to the, you see, the brethren, you see, what will they do? Will everybody come? No, they won't come. Because today, the majority Christians, they want to enjoy the world as well as they want to enjoy the Lord. You see, they want good, nice music, you see, nice entertainment, you see. Same they do it in disco, but same they do it in the church. Same thing, only the lyrics are changed, that's all. Nothing difference. There also they are immersed in music and entertainment. Here also they are immersed in music, the thing that relaxing mind is the, that is the Holy Spirit. That is God giving that freeness, that peace that God is giving. You see. Actually, that is not the peace which Christ has promised. We will see in the volumes what is the peace that which Christ promised us, which passeth all understanding. You see, so what happens that, you see, they want to balance their life everywhere. Be in the world also, be in the Lord also. That is not consecration, that God doesn't accept. Hence, you see, these type of people are never justified. See, when Gideon gave the call, immediately majority turned back. 22,000 went back. You see, they were never justified. Matthew 22:14, it tells us, many are called, few are chosen. Called for what? Many are called for justification. You see? Now, who are chosen? Only few are chosen for the justification. Only few people will come. Right? Okay. Okay, Lord, I'll come. I will offer my body as a living sacrifice. You see, hence, consecration should always follow justification. Temporary justification should first happen. You see, and God should, you see, validate it. Okay, then only the permanent justification happens. After a consecration, you see. So before that one, you see, a consecration is happened. Before coming to the truth itself, I am consecrated already. I have done a lot of things to the Lord. I am doing other services, ministry work, everything. But these are never in the sight of God as consecration. You see, they may claim that I have accepted Jesus as a personal savior. Everything fine. You see, they may be completely dedicated in the, you see, ministry, so-called Babylon ministry. You see, that is not at all, you see, the Lord's work. You see, what does the Bible say? Read Revelation 18:4. Revelation 18:4.
Then I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sin, and that ye receive not of her plagues."
You see, come out of her, my people. Come out, don't be inside it. Because that is a fornicated city. What do we just now read in 1 Thessalonians? You see? Sanctification. You see? Parameshwar ki chitta. What does that word come in? Nepali? Holiness? What is the word for holiness in Nepali?
Pavitrata.
Pavitrata. You see, this is apavitrata. Read second verse. Read second verse in Nepali.
In Nepali, brother?
Revelation 18:2. Correct, sister. Nepali.
18:2. अनि उनी ठुलो स्वरले यसो भन्दै शक्ति साथ कराए, महान बेबिलोन ढल्यो ढल्यो र दुष्ट आत्माहरूको वासस्थान हरेक अशुद्ध आत्माको कैद खाना अनि हरेक अशुद्ध र घिनलाग्दो चराको खोर भएको छ.
अशुद्ध आत्मा, दुष्ट आत्मा, वेयर इज पवित्र आत्मा? Babylon is fallen, God has rejected it. So if somebody is claiming to be consecrated, to be already in covenant with the Lord, that is all a great deception. You see? So these can never, precede. You see, this consecration, this concept of false consecration, you see, here it is never valid at all. Read Corinthians, one more thing, one more. Second Corinthians 11th chapter, verse 4 in English. Second Corinthians 11:4.
For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him.
Another Jesus, another Holy Spirit. You see, another gospel, another apostle also is there. Now, who are this one? Who is this another Jesus? Who is this another apostle? Which is this another spirit? Not Holy Spirit. You see? Apavitra Atma. You see, Jesus, duplicate Jesus is there. You see, we all know very well, this is the great Antichrist system. So, if anybody is in that system, you see, claiming to be consecrated, what does this paragraph say clearly? It says that this is not a consecration at all. So first tentative justification should happen. Then, you see, they should be permanently justified. You see, then they should come to the mode of consecration. Their balance, 10,000 were called. They were not left in the same place. They were told to come near the water. Bring to the water. You see, bring to the truth. Bring to the ecclesia. Bring to the, you see, fellowship of the brethren, there the test will happen. You see, there what you are drinking? Daily what you are drinking? What is the truth you are, you see, supping? Truth should be clear truth, not mixed false truth and all. So, in that truth only, that divisions, you see, happen. The divisions of the little flock and the great multitude. So, hence, you see, this is a very clear concept. First, tentative justification, then consecration should happen. Not that first consecration, then justification. So many people would have consecrated. You see, many people think that after consecrated in the world, you see, and they, if they come to the root, that, consecration carries forward like that only. That immersion, you see, is considered and God accepts it. No. You see, we have example of Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul, he was a very religious person. He says he was a Pharisee, of the tribe of Benjamin. You see, on the eighth day I was circumcised. was very zealous in persecuting the church. Remember how this a religious person was he? But once when Jesus called, he did not hesitate himself to consecrate and signified with a proper water immersion. You see, so that is the reason Apostle Paul was accepted. If Apostle Paul would have claimed, oh, I'm already doing Lord's work, I was already justified, I'm already in covenant with the Lord, I'm a Jew, very zealous Jew, you see, I was already justified by the baptism of Moses, you see, that would have never worked out. You see, hence, you see, first tentative justification, then, you see, consecration. Okay, next paragraph. Next paragraph we'll read. Amar brother?
Okay, brother. Define the path of righteousness gradually. Ascending one, becoming more steep, more difficult to continue along this path of righteousness in the midst of present sinful condition will ultimately cause the
sacrifice
of earthly interest, earthly ambition, earthly friendship, etc. Here the parting of the way of reach the one, the upward path, path leading to glory, honor, immortality can be entered only by a low gate of humility, self-denial, and self-sacrifice. Entered, it will be found to be a rough way in which the gracious promises of Christ, the leader, seen forth here, and therefore their encouragement, assuring of grace sufficient and help to the end of the journey and perseverance will show all things conspiring for their highest good, their ultimate membership in the new creation and participant in the glorious work of the millennial kingdom at this gateway, which signify full consecration even to sacrifice many tentatively justified believers stand for quite a little while counting the cost before they enter, listening to the voice of invitations from the world, and straining their hearts to undertake the journey under its good assurance.
Thank you. So, this path, I say the path leading to the consecration, it is not the easy path. You see, as the days goes on, you see, it is a more ascending path. You see, and it becomes more difficult and more steep. You see, and anybody willing to go ahead, you see, they have to accept these terms and conditions. That means what? This is not a smooth path. You see, this is a rugged path. Lot of hills will be there. Lot of steeps will be there. To pass through all these things, what is required? Ultimate sacrifice is required. Remember very well, the terms of this gospel age is sacrifice. If anybody is not willing to sacrifice, you see, let it be anything. You see, we're not telling to sacrifice money as people in Babylon tell, but sacrifice of everything. In the Babylon, in the churches, they tell you should sacrifice 1/10 tithes. But here, 10th of the 10th is sacrificed to the Lord. If anybody is not willing to understand this concept or accept this concept, you see, they can never walk ahead. They can never finish this course. So, to enter this one, you see, these conditions and terms and conditions should be clear in your mind, and you should be willing to, you see, sacrifice earthly relationship, you see, earthly friendship, you see, parting of the ways, you see, all type of test, you should be ready to accept it. And for this one, self-denial, you see, self-sacrifice, you see, should always be there. If this is not there in the mind, they can never walk ahead. You see, but you see, we should always remember that our Lord is always there to help us. A lot of ministering spirits, you see, always there to guide us. A lot of, you see, precious promises are there. A lot of examples of the ancient worthies are there. You see, where they are walked in the path of Lord, you see, they were so obedient. You know, Bible, the Bible, you know, Prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a prophet of the Lord. He never wanted to speak God's words. You see, he was from the family of the priest. Joachim was the king. He used to offer sacrifices. There was abomination to the sight of God. And God tells to Jeremiah to speak to these kings. Jeremiah tells, no, I won't speak, Lord. I can't speak. I don't want to speak. Simply, if I speak, it will provoke anger and all these things and all. So, God, even after telling Jeremiah, Jeremiah doesn't listen. But ultimately, you see, God, you see, motivates him that he begins to speak. Once what happened, God tests Jeremiah. Now, what is the test? God tells to take on cloth, a new cloth, take on cloth. Okay, he is in Jerusalem, in Israel. It tells, God tells Jeremiah to travel to River Euphrates. Where is River Euphrates in the world map? Where is Israel? And where is River Euphrates in the world map? Does anybody know or not? Okay, see, Euphrates is in Iraq. So today we all know very well, a lot of war is going on in Israel, Iran and all. So you know at least some approximate distance between Israel and Iraq. What would be the approximate distance between Israel and Iraq? How much kilometers? Approximately. Tell me, approximately tell me. Just think something and tell, no.
No idea, brother.
No idea. Okay. It is almost more than 1,000 kilometers. Imagine during the days of Jeremiah, you see, Jeremiah had to walk, not travel by any other things. He had to walk to, you see, Euphrates, and go and bury this cloth there, and you have to return back. To go and come itself, it will take, you see, years together. After coming back, God tells, what did you do, Jeremiah? Lord, I have obeyed your commandment. You told me to keep the cloth there. I have kept it. Now God tells, okay, now again, you go to River Euphrates. Then Jeremiah tells, okay, Lord, I'll go. Immediately, he begins his journey and goes to River Euphrates. Again, many years takes together to go and come back. You see, there, what happens is that God tells, now, you just take the cloth which you have hidden here. He takes the cloth and God tells, what has happened to the cloth? He shows the cloth is completely torn, Lord. It's full, made of holes and all. It's completely gone. And he tells, this is the same condition which I'm going to do for Israel. Imagine, you see, what would Jeremiah feel? Just to tell him these words, you see, how many years God took. And what was the test to Jeremiah? To walk, go to Euphrates, come back, and again go to Euphrates. You see, and just to listen to these words, that as the cloth is torn, similarly Israel will be torn. This simple concept, you see, such a test. If we would have been in the test, what would have done? First of all, we would have never obeyed God. We would have never listened to him. You see, we would have done our own will. Whatever you want to tell me, you tell me your wrongly. I'll do it myself. We will only tear our cloth and show it in pieces. Now tell me, Lord, what has to be done? You see, but see the examples of ancient worthies. You see, now what does the Bible say about ancient worthies? Read Hebrews 11 chapter. Hebrews 11 chapter, verse 39 and 40. Muna sister, can you read? Hebrews 11, 39 and 40.
And this all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise.
Sister, what does he say? This all, having obtained a good report through faith. After Jeremiah doing this, Lord, you see, work which Lord had given him, what was the report that God gave to him? A very good report. You see, no remarks in his report at all. See, how did they live? verse 37, 38, sister. Same chapter, verse 37, 38.
They were stoned. They were sawn asunder.
See, they were stoned. They were sawn asunder. Then,
were tempted.
They were tempted. Tempted means what? They were provoked. You see? To anger. Tempted. You see? To do evil work. Then?
Were slain with the sword.
See? They were slain with the sword, it seems. Then?
They wandered about in sheep is king and goat is king.
They were wandering. How? What type of cloth did they wear? Jeans, cotton, terricot, woolen, branded company. What is the cloth they wear? You see, goat skin and sheep skin. Wandering, you see? And no permanent dwelling place, no own house, no big, big jobs, no huge money, no wealth. Then?
Being destitute.
Destitute means what? Being destitute means left alone. None were there together. They were all left alone on the trial. Destitute, completely desolate. Only the Lord was with him. Imagine, at least now we have the guidance of the scriptures. We have the Bible with us. At least we can carry it along. During those days, did they have the, you see, Old Testament or a Torah? They could they take it and travel whenever they wanted, wherever they wanted? No. At least we have the strengthening of the God's Holy Spirit, the power which God has given us. But do you think the same Holy Spirit was given to the ancient worthies? No. That Holy Spirit operation was totally different from what was given for the old ancient worthies and for us. At least now we have the fellowship of the brethren. If anything happens, we can call somebody, speak to somebody, have some fellowship, get some encouragements, get some boost. But during those days, no one, desolate, destitute, no letters, no email, no WhatsApp, no Facebook, no chat, no SMS, nothing. At least these days we have this technology. Imagine those days, nothing, no light at all. You see, 6 p.m. the day ends, 6 a.m. the day starts. You see, no, nothing, nothing else is there. You have to leave alone. Lot of things come to your mind, negativity, destitute, nobody is there with you. God would have put you into severe test. Lot of things God will tell. In those things, we should exercise our faith. No, Lord, I won't listen, I can't listen means we won't be of that ancient worthy class. Now, next, continue. Afflicted, tormented. Huh? Lot of place wherever they went, peace, happiness, joy, enjoyment, relaxation of mind. See, this is the sufferings they suffered. Next, continue. Very important. Verse 38, sister. Huh?
Of whom the world was not worthy.
Underline it. Of whom the world was not worthy. What dialogue, what sentence God has mentioned? The world was not worthy for these people means what? These lived a very high standard in such they are not worthy for this world. They were only capable and fit and made fit for this kingdom class. They could be of only that class. The world would never suffer such people. Hence, they were desolate, destitute, wanderers. You see, the world never recognized them. Imagine Jeremiah, you know what happened? Jeremiah's girlfriend was killed. You see, how pathetic, how, you see, heartbreaking incident would be for Jeremiah. He was thrown into a dungeon, a pit. You see, where there was miry clay, filth was there. You see, he was there without food for many days. You see, imagine the condition at that moment. You see, how tormenting, you see, to be for his Jeremiah's mind. Lot of negative thoughts would have come, but they all retained faith. What does he say? Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the deserts, in the mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. Because of all these things, what is these things? They have sacrificed. You see, nothing is given there about the selfish attitude. Sacrifice, gave everything to the Lord. Humble. As we go ahead, this narrow way becomes steep and steep, steep and steep. The only one who passes this one is the one who remains humble. You see, completely surrendered to the Lord. You see, self-denial, self-sacrifice. The ancient word is, if we compare ourselves to them, we are nothing, not even the dust. You see? And he says, all this having obtained good report through faith, received not the promise. Imagine, even after doing all these things, what promise did God give them? Did God tell them, no, don't worry, you all go and sleep, 1,000 years will come, my son will come, then I'll give you a reward. How many people were assured? You see, as per the Bible, you see, as per my knowledge, only Daniel was told that you go and sleep. Will rise again. But what about other people? God never promised them anything, but yet without the promise, they were obedient to God. Just imagine. In the next verse, it says, God has kept something reserved for us. God has kept something better reserved for us. You see, that means that was not revealed to them. You see, so how should our faith be? So one speculating at this mode and thinking whether I'll come or not, whether I consecrate or not, keep on thinking. You see, that is a clear sign that is not worthy of this consecration. He would never be worthy of the truth also. Even if such a people come, you see, they won't remain many days in the truth because they don't have that firmness. You see, that faith, a strong faith, you see. So, what is the thing is that, you see, many tentative justified believers, they stop here, counting the cost. What did Jesus say? If any man wants to build a tower, Let him first sit and calculate the cost. Of course, calculate the cost. Eh? If I tell you, if I ask you all, you can, you please sit and calculate whether you will all be able to make your calling election sure or not. If I tell you, what will be your answer? If I tell you all to sit and think whether you will all be able to make your calling an election sure or not, what will be your answer? Can you make your calling election sure? What will you answer? Tell me, what will you answer? Amar brother, Romister, Munaster, tell me, what will be answer? Yes or no?
We will do our best to make our election sure, brother.
Yes, we will try. But 100% confidently, can we tell, yes, I'll do it? Can we tell?
No, brother, no.
No. Because we know the terms and conditions. We know what path is left there, how much we need to do, how much we need to travel. If you sit and calculate and you see the cost, the answer will come no. Then why sit and calculate? Better go like that only, no? Then what is the meaning of calculate? What should we count the cost? You know, what is required? To completely complete the race, to finish the race, what is required? What does God require from us to finish the race? Only one word is required. Only one character, special character is there. That character is required to finish our race. What is that? Apostle Paul tells, one thing is required. We just now read now in Hebrews. The ancient worthies were famous for what? God is going to reward them for what?
Faith.
What, brother?
Faith.
Faith. This is the only thing that we need to calculate. Whether I'm going to retain that faith or not. Whether I'm going to be faithful to the Lord or not. Whether I am willing to be faithful to the Lord, whether I am willing to be in the faith, for what? Not for any benefit or any purpose, no. Without any support, any benefit, without anything, I will stand for the Lord. That is faith. You see, I gave an example of Jeremiah. See the prophets, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, what all they suffered, you know. But God willing, we'll see sometime. You see, beautiful examples are there. They were told to walk naked. They were told to eat things which are filthy. You see, in the Bible is there. You see, they were told not to cry. You see, why? Because that was the will of God. That was the test from God. So similarly, when we sit and calculate, what should we calculate the cost? Cost of our faith. Whether I will be able to retain this faith at any cost. Some people will tell, I want this thing at any cost. Same way, at any cost will I retain this faith on the Lord. If this is yes, then continue. If this faith itself is tottering, flickering, let me see. That is a clear sign that faith is not there at all. How much faith should we have? What does the Bible say? How much faith should we have?
The mustard seed, brother.
Mustard seed, brother.
How much?
Mustard
seed. Correct, sister. Mustard seed is not even a gram. You see, that much faith. That means what? Small faith is sufficient. You see, if one person doesn't come to the mode of consecration, they keep on speculating, keep on thinking, that is a clear sign that they don't have faith. If that faith is not there at the beginning of the race, imagine, think, will they be able to continue the end of the race? Will they be able to finish the race? No. These are the unfaithful class. Hence, Jesus said, bring them to the water. Test them. If they're willing to drink, continue. If they're willing not to drink, just come and satisfying. You see, the arg. What did Gideon do? They tested. They put their mouth, drank the water, 9,700. That means what? Drinking the truth. You see, listening, listening, listening. Always listening, never coming to knowledge of truth. Bible says now. Always they want to listen, 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 listen. But nothing is there in there. Only to satisfy the arg, only to satisfy. You see, they listen. Jesus says, 4,000 people he fed, 5,000 people he fed. You see, where were these people when Jesus was crucified? Where were these people when Pilate told, shall I release Barabbas or shall I release Jesus? These were the same people who proclaimed, release Barabbas. Where were these people when Jesus was alone carrying the cross? Where were these people? Jesus knew very well. He did not trust any man because they were supposed, they were all calculating the cost, cost. So many people think, no, after listening to the truth, shall I come out of Babylon or not? If I come out, will I get a grave? Will I get marriage? All these things will happen. How many are there in your church? Only three, only four. Oh, I don't want to come. Why? Faithless condition. When Jeremiah was told to go to Euphrates, did he go alone or did he take his friend? He went alone. You see? So nobody was there with him. Imagine to journey in Iraq on foot. It's not so easy. So these are all, you see, the conditions of tentative justification. These are all the things we should need to keep in mind, you see, as we walk ahead in a narrow walk of life. Not many will come. Not many will make to that mode of, you see, finishing line. Not many will make. You see, but if we need to touch that line, if we need to finish that line, our faith should be. How our faith should be? You see, faith when we can't see anything. Faith when we can't hear anything. Faith when we can't feel anything. In the hopeless condition, faith should exercise there. Okay? So we'll stop here. So God willing, we'll see you next week. Any doubts, any questions? Any doubts, any questions?
No question, brother.
Okay, good. So in the end, we'll finish with a word of prayer. Okay, Brother Amar.